You're listening to WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro 103.5 FM. And if it's not on your radio dial, then it's on some kind of push button somewhere.
Gotta be.
It's on something. Anyway, this is where freedom of expression is essential to a free society. Exactly. This is not the only place where that's true. That's true all over the
world. Well, we'd like to think so, yes.
Anyway, so welcome to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater this Tuesday morning. We are bringing Carolina coast to coast, and the Speakeasy is out on your doorstep. So your host, Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors of the Speakeasy to invite you all to come as you are.
Thank you. And, yes, this is the show that refuses to behave.
Yes, and like I'm not going to tell you how these guys are here today.
Oh, no, we've got to
come and know how we showed up either, you know?
No, no. Anyway, find a seat, get comfortable in the place.
I think when you got to my house, I was still in my pajamas, correct?
Yes.
I won't even tell you whether he's changed or not.
Be quiet, and be quiet and let I finish the introduction.
Let's just say it doesn't zip, it flaps.
Too much information, thank you very much.
Oh, it's a TMI moment, and we haven't even started the show. This is something else. Audrey, you having fun yet?
We're not going to tell anybody who this guy is.
No, I'm refusing to identify this soul.
I used to work for the government.
Okay. Oh, no, you let CIA in the door?
Everybody, I don't know if you want to find a seat now, but if you do...
Uh-oh, the radios are being turned off. It's getting very silent in Carrboro.
If you're still game for this morning, get comfortable here in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the best. And good morning, Claudia.
Good morning, and that's what you think. Good morning, and before we get on this roller coaster that today is absolutely going to be, we've got producer, director, writer John Demers of the Rusty Bucket Kids and then some coming on, and this is a guy that could probably do the interview without me asking a single question, so we'll get back to that in a minute. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Claudio. How are you today?
Doing well, and I want to acknowledge very quickly, so that I don't forget to do this and then get scolded, the historic Carolina Theater of Durham, which is currently still undergoing some amazing $1 million worth of renovations.
Oh, it's going to be gorgeous.
And they've got the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival coming up from the 11th of August through the 14th. I'll be doing something there. I'm not gay, but it has been determined that I am a lesbian, so this is my official
coming out of the closet
moment.
We like women.
Yes.
I'm married to one. I love women.
That's it.
I do. I truly do.
So well, this is,
and I got a good looking one too.
Keep as a host can't even talk here.
Let's give Carolina Theater's phone number 919-560-3030 and the website www.carolinatheater.org, and that's theater spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
As it should be, in my humble opinion.
Yes, it should. Leave it to the
I thought you meant yes, stay humble.
Absolutely. And it's a great theater. I've been on those stages.
It's a gorgeous
It's a wonderful place to work. Yeah. I've written on the walls in the hallway.
I love stage managing there, and I also like the fact that I'm the, what do they call it, the voice of the theater for all.
You are just the voice, sir. You're just the voice.
It's the God voice, right?
I don't have much of a voice here today, thank you.
No, but you're the voice.
I'm inviting the wrong people in.
We've got a bunch of alphas running around in the studio today.
Well, the tail
guy raises
really
wolves. So he's got the alpha thing down packed. He raises wolves.
Ooh.
Okay, Mr. Alpha and Omega here. Cue us into what's cooking with Rusty Bucket. I know you're shooting in Michigan at this point.
You know, this guy's got to bring up the word cooking, and whenever he brings up cooking, I can't help but think of Tropical Moon. I had it on something yesterday. I remember it was like I was preparing 2 days ago, squash and onions. I love squash and onions. I typically put nutmeg in it, and I thought, I'm going to put Tropical Moon in this time. Boy, was that good. I mean, I just sprinkled it right on in there, and the flavor and aroma just kind of comes out, and everybody loved it. Of course they do.
And you better tell them what Tropical Moon is, because they have no idea you're talking about the host.
Well, it has nothing to do with me being in my pajamas this morning, I assure you. The moonshot for that is something totally different. But Tropical Moon is an actual urban spice that is produced by my friend Claudio when he's wearing chef hat.
The culinarian.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Chef Claudio, that is.
And my first experience with you was eating food that had that on it. And wow.
Thank you.
I had no idea. And it was, and we're talking like back in the like late 80s.
So. I've been producing it for 30 years now, I think, or more.
It was great stuff. And I have tried to keep it on my shelf since, and I still have it. I share it when I can because it is really, really good stuff.
Thank you. Even got Ira David Wood III hooked on it.
It's good stuff. I've got some in my bag right here. So, I mean, truly, I do carry it around.
And we've got some basil that we just got from Audrey. We can probably roll some of that.
Oh, the herbs. Well, yeah, we have a bag of herbs in the studio, people.
Legal.
Basil.
Freshly picked. I was huffing on the bag earlier.
Yes.
Basil.
We did not start the show, if you notice, with anybody singing reggae saying legalize marijuana.
But you all sound a little high to me.
No innuendo whatsoever.
None whatsoever. The topic, by the way, that I've been trying to get in now, edgewise, sideways, from top to bottom here, ever since we started the show, is that today's show is about independent film, and in particular, the Rusty Bucket Kids and John Demers.
You know, independent film, independent television, independent distribution, I think. And I may even go with the latter term, independent distribution, more so. You know, I've had several conversations with filmmakers lately about the challenges of raising dollars, finding angel investors. You know, how do you get it done? Distribution. And I guess as I've tried to hone down where the failure success is in independent film for people, there's two reasons. And I've talked to a number of distributors now, because with the Rusty Bucket Kids in distribution and now a show that I worked on some years back, you may recall it briefly, Claudio, but it was...
that Hitchcock?
Yeah, the psychological thriller.
The one you had me MC for. You brought me
I'm the producer. You know, look at this. I'm actually... Will to Power.
Will to
Frederick
Power,
Nietzsche.
Yes.
Yeah, Will to Power.
You know, kind of like what's going on here this morning?
Yeah, with David Roundtree, Kiko Ellsworth,
yes.
Jerry Mathers.
Yes,
buddy Jerry Mathers.
Yes.
Number of great actors in it. David's current wife, Rosia. Current. David, it's your wife.
Look out.
Not the
Look
current
out.
Wife. Rosie, it's your the wife.
Yes,
but Rosia Garcia,
she's
a very talented person. They've all done television, film. All these actors in the show are great. But... I got sick. I was ill. I wasn't able to give it the attention it should for distribution. And so now David's other films he did after Will to Power are out there. As a matter of fact, I think Showtime right now has Staunton Hill, that film out. Because of that, people have interest in his work. So we're now going to push the distribution plug on that. But again, so I've been meeting with people on that. I've been talking to people about Rusty Bucket. And here's what I find. It isn't how much money you spend on the project. What they seem to... Do we hear a helicopter landing on the building?
It's our train.
Did you bring your entourage?
Oh, I love trains.
Yes.
I can never be upset with trains. You know me.
Of course
I love
not.
Trains.
It's a rusty bucket train going right by.
So, yeah, there goes. There he is. Steamy's off and running.
Between this conversation and the basil, let's keep on track.
We shall do it. So anyway, I learned that with the distribution model, it wasn't the cost of the budget. But what they realized was that if the budget was really going to be under $50,000, they don't see how it can get distribution, because there's a concern of a chain of title, the legal entity that made the film, being tight enough. You know, a lot of people do films and some people get paid, some people don't. Typically what I've learned from some of the distributors on a film that is looking for some success is they want to know that everybody got paid something, or that if there's some group that did not, that it is such on the totem pole that maybe they worked one day as an intern for school or several days as an intern for school. Mm-hmm. But they really want to know that everybody got some enumeration, because if they don't, they're going to have a claim somewhere down the road. There's never a claim when something isn't making money. There's only a claim when something starts to make money. And if your deal isn't very tight on paper, the fear is that the people that got it that then start spending the money to get in distribution are going to be the ones that are sued. And so they tend to stay away from projects of this of level. Hmm. I've got a number of friends that have some really cool ideas with projects that I've tried to start shopping. And when I've been getting the pushback, typically in the back, you got pushback, I'm talking 5, 6, 7 years ago, and I'd get pushback and you couldn't find out why. Today's economy, they are taking on lower budget projects. So I know they are. So I feel more comfortable asking. Plus, with the success of our show, I'm in a position to ask. Okay, we're dealing with a family-friendly show over here. I'm talking about a lot of films that are PG-13 or R, et cetera. What's the pushback? And what I heard was, again, if they're spending under $50,000, how much legal do they have? You know, and a lot of them might come back and go, well, I got contracts. But then again, how tight is that contract? Where did it come from? Was it online? Did it come from someone that you feel confident got it from an attorney who at least originally put it together? And so that's where the pushback comes from. It isn't so much that the ideas aren't good. that maybe in the film festival they won because they should have won. The reality comes down to how much was spent on it, and there's where the concern. If they're spending under 50, what part of that was legal? How much did they spend on the attorney part? Mm-hmm. And it's like buying a used car. You know, yeah, we can go buy one for $100, but someone still has a title, mm-hmm. and they
but
give you the title.
That's something you can cover, though. It takes it takes some extra doing. Some kind
it,
of
it does, but the precision. Hardest but the hardest time to do it is after production.
Right. Right.
Because I know Will to Power was a project in which I had to, after filming, go get all new contracts with a new entity done. It took almost 2 years
wow.
to get all the contracts back.
So once you learn that, though, you can do that ahead of time now.
And that's my key now, is that even right. though I still deal in the low-budget world,
right.
David Crump, my attorney, worked with me really well early on to develop a set of forms that were boilerplate for me
right.
that I could use repetitively. In the low-budget arena.
And right. you actually have a rather sad message to
yeah,
convey.
David, you know, and hopefully if you're listening, and I really wish you are, he's a dear friend of mine. I've met him in the mid-late 80s when he was just coming off being one of the chief deputy attorney generals for our state. And he was starting his private law practice, and I helped them get that up and running and off the ground. But I just learned in the last few days that he's got challenged with a tremendous illness that he needs to get through. He has the love and prayers and support of all of his friends and people that have known him and worked with him. And, you know, we're going to see him get through it, and he's going to get over the challenge. Mm-hmm. But for the time being, he's had to kind of step away from doing lawyer stuff for a little while. Which
kind of puts you in the big ouch, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, some of us will have to scramble for a little bit and get some counsel on a few things. But that's, you know, that's easily found. Mm-hmm. There's lots of attorneys out there that want to take money.
Oh, yes.
So my choice would be to give it to David, but he'll get back in the saddle, and we'll get him back in shape and get him working here shortly. So anyway, it's that making sure your deal is done and it is on paper. And so, because here's what the other dirty little secret, quite frankly, is the lot of the success that the independent filmmakers are having now that do the ultra low budgets. I mean, I'm talking about the films that are made for under $100,000 mm-hmm. or the episodic TV shows that are made for under $50,000 an episode. Then those people can get some traction and get some eyeballs to look at it. Only from the sense, not creatively, is that it's at a price point that works. And if you can get a price point that works, then you have something that people are interested in. And so, and what I mean by that is, you know, when you look at the Hollywood model for a TV show, you know, okay, spend $1 million developing your pilot. Well, we didn't spend anything like that. But that's the whole idea, is you spend $1 million, and then you spend another $500,000 getting it into the people that might get it up for airing and testing it and all that stuff. But there's this cycle. And so you can either go that route or look at these new opportunities that have come up. And, you know, one of the new opportunities that I came across since we started production of The Rusty Bucket back in October 2009, that was the original production date. And it looks like we're coming up in October 2012 to commence again more episodic work. More on that later in this show.
See, folks, I told you I didn't have to interview this guy. This is we're talking Duracell here.
The little copper top battery. There goes the bunny. That right off the table. Ran into Pee Wee Herman, he did. They're both there tugging on each other on the floor. TMI. Okay, so.
And he's not a lesbian.
That's right. So that, but he likes bunnies. Yeah, pull that battery out.
Yes,
so,
please.
So what you have with our show, like I said, producing the original pilot in October 2009, and you come to today. One of the reasons I got into this and knew I would be successful at it is because I knew that all of these television stations across the country that had just taken a beating during the economy hit, and they still are, they haven't fully recovered, had all these extra stations they were adding. You know, here in the Triangle area, you've got WRAL and 5.1, 5.2. I think at one time they had a 5.3, but they kind of phased that out. You got other stations that have, you know, their 17.1, 17.2, 4.1, 4.3, 4.2, our friends at UNC TV. And so, again, they had to have content for those airwaves. And, of course, you know how the FCC is, use it or lose it. And mm-hmm. so they're gonna find a way to use it. And so I knew that there would be opportunity there, even though from my show's perspective, I was going to focus on the primary stations and getting clearance for the primary stations. What I didn't know exactly, but I saw it evolve, and I'm right there as this evolvement is taking place. I mean, I'm talking to companies while this industry is really developing and budding out. But that is, these extra stations, like, for instance, WRAL on 5.2, is a network called This. Mm-hmm. And it's owned by a company that's run out of Chicago. And they are, I think, in about 40 or 50% of the country now being a second station to or a second network to a station. And, you know, when you look at the money on it and the monetization, you can clearly see that, you know, they're finding themselves. You know, they're spending millions of dollars on shows like, you know, Bob Newhart and Cheers and MASH to be the,
bringing back the old ones
to get the audience. And they're offering these shows free to the local station in a split barter. The same deal that we were doing with stations on an individual basis. You got a network now going, okay, to get our traction, we know you need content. Now, you can either go buy it or we'll give it to you for free. Well, it's not really free. It's a split barter. In other words, the people giving the programming are keeping half the ad revenue because they're selling half the revenue time, and the station keeps some percentage, half probably, and they get to go sell it, and it hasn't cost them anything. And they're on the air, and it doesn't look like they don't have programming. And so there's this fun rivalry amongst these diginets, is what they're called, digital networks. The short name is diginets. But there's this the desire amongst themselves to really get entrenched and get a larger percentage of the audience share of the country. And so some of these groups like Lucan Communications and my friend Neil Aardman out of Chattanooga, you know, they run the RTV network, PBJ, I think Tough TV. So, you know, they're all in these tier two networks. You know, tier one is the ABC CBS network, and tier two are these other networks that come online. But they're positioning themselves no different than where cable was in the late 70s or early 80s. I mean, remember HBO came on in the 70s at 6 o'clock at night and it went off at 2 a.m. in the morning, if you got it. You know, cable wasn't everywhere. And there was a question when it came out in New England. I was up there in 76. I was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and cable was coming to our community. And this was a new community being developed, and so it was approached about allowing cable in. Cable, you know, there'd be TV coming into your house on a cable. People questioned that because phone service wasn't that good and it came in on a cable. I mean, think about it. That's just where we were. Now think of cable today. Where would we do without cable? Then think about the premium cable stations kind of also had to deal with these new folks coming in, Discovery and History Channel back in the 80s, trying these new stations, you know, and that was another influx to the cable world. And yet they couldn't find themselves for a couple to 3 years, but then they did. I believe diginets are in the same position. They're going to find themselves over the next couple of years, because I know now they're looking for certain types of content because they are getting some traction and they know the next step is they have to have some original content. And just like a
broadcast. So they're all set up for you.
It sounds to me like you're aiming the gun here.
When you look at WRAL TV 5.1, each week they've got to show 3 hours of children's programming, educational institutional programming. That rule is changing to 4 hours at some point here coming up shortly. It's true of their other station as well. In other words, when you got a network out of Chicago or my friends in Chattanooga, and they're also here as well, they have that same obligation. Now, they can either go show the old stuff, or again, there's a point at which you continually show repeats, you get an audience, but then you want to show them something new and fresh, your programming. So yes, people that actually have finished content.
Shovel ready.
Really
shovel ready. Bury this.
Very shovel ready. Then we can dig in and go provide content. So we have those kinds of negotiations going on right now with entities that are looking to fill those opportunities. And it's not us pitching an idea. Here we've taken them a show that's multi-Emmy nominated, that has won a Silver Telly, has won a People's Choice Bronze Telly, has a number of festival nominations and awards. We're in really good shape, and we're shortly...
You've got the product.
We have the product.
The thing I like about John is he always gives us extensive background for any of those wondering, you know, about the other side of independent film, the more meat on the bones aspect to the whole thing.
That's true. Now, that works not just for television, because we're doing a kids show and we've got our educational institutional letter from a great guy that's out of Vanderbilt. But it comes around to also independent film, because they're going to want to show films and movies. But they also want a good price point there, too. You know, they don't want to just, you know, write out checks for 200,000, half a million, whatever. I mean, they want to do some structured deals. So there will be opportunity coming. But what's really important is having your paperwork right. If it's not on the paper, it's not a deal. It's not done. And it really should be looked at by some type of a lawyer, someone that has, so that you can at least get through the whatever you got online and make sure that it's good for where you are locally. And, you know, and David Crump did that for friends of mine. In other words, he would do that. He would look at paperwork. And so That's what you want. You want to make sure your paperwork's right, because if it's right, then you can go make the deal happen. And I don't mind saying that initially with some of our stuff, that's what was looked at, was the paperwork, because we were at such an interesting price point that drew eyebrows, but the quality was there. Mm-hmm. We were getting Nielsen ratings, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. and that it was a business. And so if we're on certain stations, like, and I mean, I don't mind saying it, being on Capital Broadcasting in North Carolina is a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. Being on Channel 5, either 5.1 or 5.2, their Wilmington station, their Charlotte station, their Durham station, Fox 50. It's a great opportunity, because you're not going to get on that station if you're not good.
For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Almost said Reader's Theater. Not reading today. Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. I'm in the studio with my co-host, Audrey Layden. And we've got the guy that's giving us the scoop on the back, the front, the ups, the downs of independent film. And in particular, at some point, we're going to focus on what's new and what's going on with the Rusty Bucket Kids.
We will.
The film that has already been launched on ABC TV and on the Fox Network.
It was CBS, it was WRL.
Oh.
They changed that in about 84.
Whoops, that's right.
In 1984, they switched with this other station here in Durham.
I'm doing everything I can not to catch up with the times. Thank you.
That's okay. Well, we just need to get you a TV. That's all. I mean, when you're
just
stopping,
get me a boat and send me somewhere.
That's what happens when you lose your TV in 1984.
Yes, yes.
The last thing you remember.
Right.
Last thing I remember. Remember how the Waltons ended?
Last thing I remember was
Happy
that book
days.
By George Orwell. Yes.
<That's right. laughs> Well, what were you telling me earlier? The story about Alfred Hitchcock.
I mean, the one with
the dead body in the potato bag.
We had William.
And now
Willie
you have to tell that
time.
Story. Yeah. Oh, you did tell that story.
Not yet.
Oh, you're going to that.
Well, I guess you put me on the spot.
Well, you told the story. Last week,
William Lilly was telling me that his wife was really in charge of the whole program, even though he was the new independent film director of his own genres. And I told him, I said, "Well, I said years ago when I was chefing at the Munich Hilton, 1972, still concluding my apprenticeship, at the time that the Olympic killings happened, we were close enough to hear the gunfire and the squad cars, and I still have that in my head." But we had Alfred Hitchcock in the hotel, and we had Frank Sinatra in the hotel. Alfred was promoting his new movie, Frenzy, and Sinatra was somehow linked to The Godfather. And Brando was in the hotel, too. Mm-hmm. And I was part of one of the chefs fixing the buffet for all that. But I had an Irish chambermaid for a girlfriend, and Hitchcock had the good taste of deciding she was cute enough for him and asked her to play a corpse for a television interview in which she was sort of half bagged in a potato sack and the other half was extended, and Hitchcock was talking about Frenzy, the necktie strangler who put his bodies in potato sacks and then floated them down the Thames. And he had his feet on her, and in the television interview he said, and oh, by the way, this is a corpse we have imported from Norway. Just thought I'd bring it along to show, and this is part of what the film is about. And he was going on about that. So I told William Lilly, I said, well, next time you do an interview, since she's the boss, just to get a little revenge, put in a potato sack when you do the interview.
Yeah.
And she actually responded on Facebook saying, no potato sacks for me, thank you.
I'm going to look to see if there's any Facebook in here. We got anything like that. Interesting.
And I remember the one thing when you had me as MC for Will to Power, I opened up by saying this film's got about as many twists and turns as Alfred Hitchcock trying to get out of a waterbed.
Yes, Eternal Rose, Claudio is still trying to put you in a potato sack. This show is so up to date. We're social media, we're tweeting, we're Facebooking. And yeah, Eternal Rose has said, and Claudio's still trying to put me in a potato sack. Lots of luck.
Hello, Eternal Rose.
Yes, 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 yes. And I'm responding as such.
Glad to know we're live.
Yeah, I mean, we know.
Just
I mean,
you up to everything here.
You know, you're doing good when you got one listener. That's because that means somebody's paying the bill.
Well, actually, I can see our current online listeners, and it's more than one.
Oh my goodness, my wife's listening too. Oh, and I did turn the one on for the dog, so I know she's listening.
Oh, good.
You know,
good.
So I did try to run around the house and turn online all the laptops and everything because I wanted to make sure that I could at least.
We're short of a local base
half
now.
A dozen. Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I guess wrapping up the distribution component and giving hope to independent filmmakers is keep the paperwork straight. I mean, pay somebody something for their work. Better to pay somebody a dollar than to have paid them nothing. And usually what will happen, and I know this because I've worked, here's the other reason I know this. I've worked on some projects for guys that were pretty savvy, and they got it in the can, and they got it done, and it looked really good, and it was at the right price point. And it was somebody that did want to get it into distribution. But then when they took the time to look at the paperwork, they realized that there were some people that had either deferred pay or they were working gratis. In other words, they were going to work on their reel. And that's when they learned, you know, send them $25. Get them a contract, send them $25. Because you can't have somebody come back when you've made $40 million and have a judge, when you've earned nothing, go, yeah, you are entitled. And the fact that we had to go this far in this court to get to this point, yeah, I'm going to give you $39 million instead of your $25. I mean, so you really want to make sure your paperwork's right.
Right.
Because nobody wants to deal with lawyers, I mean, in that way. We don't want to deal with lawyers that way. That's when we all start telling the bad lawyer jokes. I mean, because we don't, you know, it's always the courtroom stuff.
I'm getting some static on my headset. Is that just me or...
Well, you do have that sort of wolfy hackle, the hackles are up kind of look on the hair.
Good, so. I'm glad it's just me. I was a little concerned about reception.
No. Everything's clear on mine.
Well, take us, since you've taken us down this road with all the legal eagles, take us down the road of where the Rusty Bucket is going. I know you're getting ready to film. You actually just got back from Michigan.
I've been to Michigan, and we're getting ready to go back next week.
And hello, Michigan, by the way.
Yeah, hello to our friends up in Michigan. We got friends up at Detroit Public Television. We got folks that are friends over at the Thomas Edison Depot Museum. We got folks that are friends up at Crossroads and at the Huckleberry Railroad and at the Golden Corral up there. Hey, KC. So, yeah, we got friends. Have I got them all in?
I got some wonderful email correspondences from the last time I had you on.
You would.
We know people who know people.
Yes. Know people.
Yeah, we got people that live in Gross Point. So we do know.
Speakeasy. Yeah, what does that tell you?
Yeah, yeah, we're good there. We actually should be safe.
Guido. Guido. Yes. Keep them quiet back there.
Hey, Tony. Can you give me a hand, Tony?
Hey, Vince, that's break his fin.
I call him Tony.
This is being ethnic.
Oh, there's nothing wrong
with
that.
I'm half Italian. I can play it.
I can.
Faith be God. Now, where's the Irish mafia?
Ah, there we go. Somebody just came into the pub here.
Ouch.
Buy that gallop beer.
Back to the Rusty Bucket.
Yeah, so
what's in that Rusty Bucket anyway?
Obviously, it's leaking.
Yes. It's leaking. It's actually rusty water, but it does the job. But no, so we're going to be up there next week, and part of that trip is to meet with some of the folks that Stephen Dethridge from HB Productions is pulling for us to see at for Thomas Edison. We're looking for our 15-year-old, dark-haired, maybe slightly reddish, blue-eyed Thomas Edison, because we're pre-casting. We need to cast... Like we did Lincoln. If we don't find a look-like, that's an issue for us.
You found a great Lincoln.
Oh, we
yes,
did.
You did.
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh, Scott was perfect for that. But we're going to find that equal in the Thomas Edison character. And we're going to do that for all of them that we can find youthful pictures. And so we'll have John Coleman and Roxana there reading.
Your children, to yes.
Yeah, reading against the Thomas Edison characters. And we'll then bring that back. The director will then whittle that down to two or three for when he flies in and actually gets a chance to work with him or meet those people.
And you also pointed out to me earlier on the drive over that you're taking the show from what was a one-hour show to qualifiably a half-hour show.
Yeah. I saw a flash of lightning in the studio. There is a flash of lightning in the studio.
Somebody's calling in. Might be a wrong number. Let's see.
We haven't announced the contest, so we know it's not anybody to call in for
the win. Somebody's reminding us.
Don't even try. I'm a winner.
This is WCOM. You're on the air. I guess he did more.
I guess I'm not.
Yeah, really.
Didn't want to be there.
That's all right.
I don't understand that. I can't imagine.
And scary. So, yeah. Scary.
Sounded too much like he dropped into a pub, so he gave it up.
Let's see.
Anyway, back to you. It's going to qualifiably a half-hour show. You said 24 minutes?
Yeah.
Commercials?
One of the things we learned was that it for a half-hour kids show, 8 to 12, they're just not going to give me an hour. Now, I had a choice. I could make it an hour and make them two-parters, or I could kind of live with the format. And I'm
Were they thinking attention span, or was there another politics?
Of course. It's, you know, all the PhDs and people that are supposedly smarter than me know.
Oh, you mean the ones running D.C.? By the way, do we still have an economy?
Yeah, does anyone know what happened? I didn't stay up last night. Wasn't that
those
big
idiots holiday. Ever get anything done?
I think I saw something when I go between emails, I get these little news blurbs and I think I said everything's passed.
Everything's passed. Okay. God knows what that is, I'm sure.
We don't know what that means, and we never seem to right away, but that's okay.
Then you get all these
things. I'm sure the rich are getting more and the poor are getting screwed.
Well, you know you're going to hear about it, because last night on PBS they were talking about this is just the beginning of a long stuff. What when did we farce. Get into elections yeah. and all that stuff? It's just turn it off.
I am so we, glad I'm not in politics anymore.
We send our society to these great colleges to make great minds of them, and then they can qualify for things like the presidency or political positions and so on. And then we look at this complete lunacy.
I know. Yeah. There's your live radio theater drama.
There you go.
Nobody would ever believe the kind of stuff that comes out of the microphones up in Washington.
No, right.
From anybody.
Let's just go chase one down and hold a mic to him.
So, to our good friends in Michigan. And yeah, you know, I mean, somebody said to me, and I don't mind pointing it out, that that for Detroit, they said, why the Detroit area? They said,
we've
it's
got
just
another
such a,
thing
such
flashing.
A
bad, we're
not really accepting
phone calls.
Well,
there are people in here flashing while I'm in my gyms.
One more Let's time, give it one not? More try, but if there's another dead one, we're giving up on this for the time being.
That's right. That's right.
Good morning. This is WCOM. You're on the air.
Hello. This is the Rusty Bucket, Mac and Pam calling.
Hey, Mac. All right. Well, this one we'll take.
Absolutely. How are you guys doing?
We're doing. Hey, guys.
Hey.
The show.
Thank you.
I got
all you listeners out there, this is Mac and Pam at the Rusty Bucket.
The actual Rusty Bucket shop in Apex, North Carolina, folks. Very well worth
we
visiting.
We just wanted to call and say we're loving the show, and as always, best wishes to all of you.
Thank you,
hey,
Bob.
You guys turn down your radio for a second so that we don't have the feedback. It's I always wanted to say
sorry.
That anyway.
I don't think Mac planned to stay on, but he said
no,
he can.
But I want him to for just a second because, you know, I want to take a moment. Folks, to those of you listening, those of you that are going to download this later, because I know this is one of the most popular shows for download, the issue in Our State magazine this month for North Carolina, the August issue, if you will open it to page 46 or go to their website now. I understand if you go to their website, you can actually get the article.
That's
there,
correct.
There is an outstanding article under Tar Heel People about the Rusty Bucket store, their 7th anniversary, and me as the creator of the show, which I really couldn't have done without having the right place for it. And when you read the article, you will truly get a sense and a feel for what it was like when I wasn't feeling good and I was able to park myself at their store and share my vision and have them see it.
And
I'm delighted.
You'll see pictures of Mac and Pam in there as well.
Exactly. So thank you guys very much.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, I've got a thanks.
And through this, we've been able to be acquainted with Claudio, and now we feel like we're great friends and just, you
Can't
know,
get rid of me now.
Thank you for the introduction, John, and we've met so many wonderful people and learned things about acting and filming that we didn't have a clue.
Hey, Mac, I noticed something in the picture when I read the article for the second time, the little carousel that I've got my books and CDs as well as art in is right behind you guys
that's
in the picture. So
right.
Thanks for including
that's
me.
That's called product positioning.
That's
there
it.
You go.
Thank you. I didn't catch it the first time I read it, and then the second time I looked, took a closer look and said, wait a minute, I know that carousel.
That's right.
And on August the 16th at 7 o'clock p.m. in the evening, the Halley Cultural Arts Center in Apex is hosting, along with the Rusty Bucket Store and the Rusty Bucket Kids Show, an evening of the encore showing of the show back at the Halley. And there'll be some giveaways that night, maybe some copies of the magazine. Come on down. The cast and some of the crew will
I'm
be there.
I'm planning to be there.
We would like to have you there. Maybe we'll just have you be the voice to introduce everybody.
How I'll do that.
So please come on out, folks. And as always, stop by the Rusty Bucket Store and see Pam and Mac, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, you guys take care. We'll let you go back to the show. We just want to give you a call and say hello.
Thanks, buddy.
You guys are gold. Thank
take
you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
It's when I was up in Michigan, one of the people asked about, you know, was it all sets? You know, because they'd seen the show and they watched it, and was it all sets? I said, no, it's not all sets.
Uh-huh,
no,
uh-huh.
I said, there's no sets. I said, everything was a real location. And then they asked about the log cabin. I said, yeah, and actually it was a real 220-plus-year-old log cabin that we'd been able to locate in the Apex area, a secret location that still remains secret. From the man who used to work for the government. No
That's
such
right.
agency.
And now he doesn't know who he works for. He's just talking.
Yeah, just talking. So
his shoe keeps ringing, though.
My shoe keeps ringing. Oh, come on. Let's get smart about these things.
Oh, Lord.
That's enough now.
You called? No,
I did call it.
Anyway,
I started this
in Michigan. In Michigan, we...
Who wrote this show?
Again, we... it's live radio theater. You know?
Actually, folks, this is all done by script.
Yes, absolutely.
It's all written down here. I'm reading through it.
You just think it's fresh.
Yes, right.
It's just people who can't read.
We, you know, when we originally put the show together, we thought we would shoot everything here. And what happened is when I went to Lincoln City near Gentryville, mm-hmm. which is where, you know, Abe Indeed. Lincoln grew up. Yeah. And you know that because you've said those words.
I did. Indeed. I was the narrator or the storyteller, as
yes,
you put it.
Storyteller. Thank you. Storyteller. And so, anyway, when I was there, the superintendent, all of the you know, historical reenactors, the interpreters, they had a nice location. It wasn't as good as ours. They acknowledged our cabin was better. But what I realized is they would have loved to have had a shoot there for the opportunity for when people watch it, they would come and go, okay, so that scene filmed there,
Indeed.
And that was over here where that part of the cabin. In other words, it's a real location. People could go to it. And the cabin we shot at, nobody will ever really know where it is. It's a secret. They don't want people coming to it, which for good reason. It's their, that's where they have their Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, it's on their house, their home property. And it's an old homestead home from their family. So I certainly understand it. But it got me thinking. And so when I realized that the park superintendent felt like it would have been nice for us to film there, and it could have been made available, I really started thinking about what about these other locations. And then, of course, at the same time, I'm thinking about marketing the show and all that. And, you know, am I going to give up Apex for some other place? No. Apex is Peak City. Steamy is out at the New Hope Valley Railway. Mike McLean and Scott Smith out there, those are great guys. I know Bob Crowley's out there, too, but he's mm-hmm. really he's our Mrs. Tuttle. So we've got him over on this side. But working with the train people is a good experience and wonderful. So we've got Peak City here. We've got Steamy here. But even if we film somewhere in the area to make something else look like, the idea is to make it look like. And so we're not showcasing, you know, the Peak City Grill, you know, the ice cream shop, all booked up, the Rusty Bucket. You know, we're not showcasing those places. So then why not be somewhere else filming if the opportunity really is real and it presents itself? And so then that's when we started reaching out. And we knew that, you know, Thomas Edison was from Port Huron, because as we were developing our storyline for the show, we knew that we were going to use him on a train. We wanted to use that period of time in Thomas Edison's life where he was selling fruit, riding from Port Huron all along the stops down to Detroit, and then taking that gossip he heard, creating a plate, running a one-sheet newspaper, and then for 10 or 15 cents selling it to people returning from Detroit that evening all the way back up the stops at Port Huron.
Wonderful.
I mean, yeah.
That's amazing.
And so we're going to, you know, get on a train, and we're gonna deal with our kids going back and meeting him at that particular time of his life, which was a time when he saved a little boy from being run over by a train and became good friends with the train people, and at the same time got thrown off a train because he accidentally started a fire, and that's going to be part of our story where maybe our kids mm-hmm. have something to do with that instead. But that's the whole thing that got us looking at Michigan. And of course, then, you know, the Henry Ford component came into play, and graciously we kind of got permission from their family lawyers to do Henry Ford the way we've at least described it at this point. And so that was a stumbling block for us. So, you know, then we had to really look at the fact that in Michigan, their film incentives are basically 40% is the incentives there. Here in North Carolina, it's 25%, which is still nice, but our production is very inexpensive. Our pilot never spent as much to qualify even for the 25% in this state. But if we'd have been in Michigan, we'd have got 40% back. Mm-hmm. So we can still film our Peak City component, our Steamy component here, but we can then now go to Michigan for that component, and for what we will spend, which will be just, like I said, $50,000 is the minimum spend up there. We will be just north of that. And, of course, then we'll get some of that back as a rebate, so then we'll bring some of that back down here. So some of the costs we would have in hotels that we would not have had otherwise, we'll now be able to bear, because that's part of how the incentive should work. And what I like about what Michigan's doing in looking at our project is, first of all, we learned something in Michigan. They love Henry Ford and they love Thomas Edison.
Well,
the native sons. I mean, this is, these people to them are golden. And so our whole concept and our whole idea was well received. You know,
now, hold that thought for a minute. I just want to backtrack for a second, just
Certainly.
To let people that are tuning in and wondering what the Rusty Bucket is and the reason John put this whole thing together. The idea behind this entire program, film series, is to inspire the children of today to study history so that we can stop repeating it, like our political idiots in D.C. But the whole idea is to get people interested enough in characters from the past that became presidents or very strong personas, personalities, and or legends in their day, and to then have the curiosity to, you know, follow, to read a book or to pursue finding out more about this person after they've seen the film. Because, in fact, this going back in time, it's children meeting these legends as children. So you still have their lifetimes to pursue and
explore. Yeah, we're not seeing these people like with Abe Lincoln. You know, we think of Abe Lincoln, it's interesting, with his beard. And he really only had that the last few years of his life. He never had a beard until the last few years of his life. And yet that's how we really recognize him, the penny, the $5 bill.
Interesting.
So looking for Scott Andrew Taylor, you know, features that resemble a youthful Lincoln was a challenge. But we found it, and a great actor that Kevin was able to work with. But we just need to have people that look like, have a feel. In other words, you could look at them and go, I could see that person older looking like Lincoln. Or I can see that person looking like Thomas Edison with the white hair and the blue. That's what that's our goal. Not to have them look like they did when they passed, but when we would have maybe thought
when
of them.
And catch them in their youth.
Yeah. And again, you know, we've talked about this before on the show. What impressionable age that is, our tweens and teens.
I mean, too few of today's youth is actually exploring history.
Well, and they're not having much of a tween-teen youth. I mean, we're jumping them from that 8 to 12 range almost right into adulthood with some of the programming that is available to them on television. And so, yeah, I mean, this was another discussion I had with someone up in Michigan, and that was, you know, I mean, you must be clear that because you don't have all the raciness to your show and the flash and the boom and the bam and the, you know, the sexiness to it that even some 8 to 12-year-old shows on Nickelodeon might have, that you're just not going to have that broad swath of audience. And I might not have a large swath, but I firmly believe that there's enough people out there that will appreciate what we're doing. And, you know, moms make decisions for kids still today, whether it's purchasing or whatever. If you're 8 years old, mom's making the decision. Dad isn't. Dad's looking at mom going, well, what do you think? You know, so mom's making the decision. And those are the people that we've been reaching out to as moms. And we know moms like this show.
Well, when they go back in time to meet Archie Bunker, I want to roll.
Oh, absolutely.
Meathead?
Meathead?
I didn't say that.
I mean, I'm a good guy. I remember so much about television. Actually, those shows are coming back now, which is why I'm enjoying it.
Actually, let me interrupt us both for a moment here.
Is it time for the contest?
I'm interrupting you.
Is it time for the contest?
Yes, it is. Well, exactly. You wanted to bring this up, old boy, so go ahead and tell them about it.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, you know, Center Sound Records, of course, produces the music for our show. We do original stuff. Thank you, Craig Brandywine.
And very quickly, interruption. I also mentioned to you that Ronnie Brown gave you BMF Tool and Die gave you his CD.
And I gave you one to
pass it on. And I told him, you know, if there's ever any need for him in soundtrack capacity, whatever, keep that on the back burner.
Make a note, Craig. Make a note.
Yes, yes.
All right. What I have in my hand to give to, well, we'll talk about how we give it away, but we're going to give away here at the radio station the Rusty Bucket Kids. Roxanna and the Rusty Bucket Band extended play sampler. There's four songs on that. I believe it's Take Me for a Ride, All Aboard, a song from Look at Me Now, which is from the Max and Wrigley series of books through my friend up in Michigan, Anthony Majewski. And then there's a fourth song on there that just went out of my head.
That's okay.
Your
age allows for that.
Well, it does, yeah. I mean, I'm over 50 now, so I'm allowed to not remember anything.
That's it.
You know, talk to guys in his jammies, all right?
Like a little basil?
That's right. Have you made the pasta yet?
That's okay. It.
So here's the deal. Audrey's over there on the telephone.
Yes.
So what we will do
and
is
and the number
to
would be 919-929-9601.
No, 601.
There we go.
O is a letter
I
on the
stand
phone
corrected. I love that. I love it
zero.
When that happens. I love being corrected.
919-929-9601.
What
and
he said.
The first caller, we're going to keep it simple. The first caller in will get this CD. You can either come pick it up from us in 15 minutes when you come to beat us up and mug us out in the parking lot and take my dollar from my pocket, or we'll mail it to you at no charge to you. First caller. 919-929-9601. And where's my cell phone? I'll make the phone
you
ring.
You can claim your booty.
Where's Pam, Matt? Can you call back now? I mean, this would be a good time. And then you can resell it there with your inventory.
Somebody will ring. Meantime, we'll continue with the show.
It will. So Michigan became a real opportunity for us. We get to go. We get to come home. But in many ways, it isn't like, in a sense, you know, you kind of want to creep before you run and, you know, crawl and all that little baby stuff. But, you know, we're going to go to Michigan. But in many ways, that's my wife's home turf. You know, my wife's from the Toledo area, which is Detroit Public Television Services Toledo. Her parents were from there and now are residing in Michigan. Her sister-in-law and brother now are in Michigan. The Howe family originally came into Michigan back, I think someone in our family.
So this is the Let's Visit Family production.
Yeah, in other words, we're kind of like, well, we're going to where distant family is. We're not quite going to where a place nobody that we know is. And so we have that famille there for us. The kids get to stay with cousins and, you know, grandma and grandpa, so it's not like they're in a hotel, that kind of thing.
Good.
So that all works out a lot better. But yes, we are hoping that everything with the film commission up there and with the vendor contracts that we're starting to get in stay on track, and that we would hopefully be filming sometime in the month of October the Thomas Edison portion up there.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, so we're really excited. And then come back, and then we do the Peak City portion here. Because the truth is, we have people that want the show, multiple stations, networks. We currently have three VOD. There's a call. Quick, get it before they decide and change their mind and hang up.
Oh, no, they've stayed online.
This is WCOM. You're on the air.
Good morning, Miss Audrey. Y'all still looking for a caller?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are, and looks like you're it.
Who's this?
Well, it's William Lilly. How are you?
Oh, William, I knew I recognized that tone. Well, you're not swimming the Thames yet.
Potato sack, thank you.
Well, we're going to put you in one and have you swim in the Thames. But there'll be a CD in it somewhere.
Yes, there will.
Yes. So I don't know if we need to mail it or we can just pass it on.
For anyone just tuning in.
Yeah, William Lilly.
William Lilly is the person that we had on last week on Independent Film.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
He is one of the team from the Rusty Bucket Show as well.
Absolutely, yes.
But he's also an accomplished filmmaker in his own right.
Indeed.
And he is now the winner
of
the Rusty Bucket CD.
Hey, hey.
With Roxanna and the Rusty Bucket Band EP sampler.
And I know you don't have that because you don't have it yet. You couldn't have it.
Nobody does.
No.
That's right.
So how are you doing, William?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
I'm listening for as much as I can this morning.
Oh, so in other words, so your lovely bride went and woke you up when she said you got to make a phone call.
Get me out of that potato sack now.
Yes.
That's it. I appreciate her sense of humor. You tell her that.
Me in the tater sack.
There you go. See, I know exactly what it really was like over there. She's like, "Would you get up there on the radio?" No, I don't want to listen. You know, I can play it, download it later. No, they're on there.
I'll
they're
make a movie
me.
About
they're
it.
They're actually Facebooking me. No, just let me sleep a little bit longer, please. There's a house full of people. I gotta get some rest. I've been up till 5 a.m. editing. You have no idea what life of a filmmaker is like. Cut, honey.
Did you realize what you were in for when you called the show?
Hey, he knows my wife.
Oh, there's a classic line. We could use that for something.
Well, no knows I love her, too. That's a good thing. So, well, thank you for calling in and allowing us to have a winner. It's pretty bad if you go outside and you have to find somebody to give it to.
Yes, hey, I've got to support my people.
There you go. That's it. It's a wonderful community out there.
Thanks again, William.
Take care.
You guys have a great show.
We will talk soon.
Bye.
Cheers.
Okay. So for Michigan...
Let me just remind folks again, before you go to Michigan, hold on.
Yes.
Your horse and carriage can wait for a moment. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, for those just tuning us in on WCOM 103.5 FM. I've got my co-host who doesn't know what the heck's going on today, Audrey Layden, sitting here next to me, and, of course, John Demers, producer, director, screenwriter, actor, whatever it takes to avoid a job.
Former government agent.
Former government agent. And John Paul just arrived in the studio. He'll be on air after us.
I guess I'll do his show next, the former there government agent stuff.
I think John Paul has something to say.
Yeah. You're still in here trying to avoid work, aren't you, John?
I am.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm trying to understand the science of it.
Good luck on that.
Thanks.
Hey, John Paul. All right.
Yes.
Back to Michigan.
Back to you and the horse and carriage.
It's just like family around here.
It is. It's good stuff.
Yes.
For us, making that decision to go to Michigan really was easy to make because of the familial part.
Of course.
And the key, as I said, is we need to get back in production. Clearly, the opportunities are there. We've spent well over a year monetizing the business model, fleshing it out.
So quick question there, just in relation to the family, the familia, as you call it. Did you dig up Thomas Edison before you made this decision, or did this just sort of suit the purpose?
Edison was in our long-range plans.
I thought so.
Kevin has done a pretty good job. I think he's developed maybe 25 or 30 characters we can go see.
Right.
We're going to need 39 to 42 in total for the whole run of the series.
Hmm.
But for the next 13, we'd whittled it down. Henry Ford just wasn't on that list.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, we knew that you know, Henry Ford was intellectual property. The images of him are intellectual property. We knew that we were getting close enough in time with a family that had a tremendous amount of wealth that they could, you know, basically charge a lot of money for people who wanted to use those images and likenesses and names.
Right.
And but I'm grateful to the connections that Anthony established for us up there and in our meetings, because they, you know, they looked at it initially. Now, they haven't looked at our first draft of the script, but the initial presentation that we have, the family attorney, which is a separate attorney from Henry Ford Museum, the Henry Ford people, basically said that, yeah, that with what we're talking about doing, it would not be a problem. And so what they would be most interested in knowing about, and I can see that, is are we going to sell it as not the Rusty Bucket Kids, Lincoln Journey to 16, but the Henry Ford episode with the Rusty Bucket Kids down low. In other words, are we going to capitalize on using his branding and marketing? And no, we're going to market it just the same way we did everything so far. Yeah. But yeah, it's a big deal.
Can we put out how do people who want to find out more about this, what's the website?
Yes, please.
It is. It's therustybucketkids.com, and we are now taking registrations, free registrations for that website, because I'm doing a weekly sort of update on what's going on, and I only send it to people who have gone and registered at that site. Not on Facebook. It's not on Twitter. Although I know our social media people up in Michigan are doing a great job at pushing people to the website, they're only going to get that information if they actually get the website. Eventually it'll propagate out, but initially.
Right. And if anybody wants to contact me about the show, you can go to my website, which is www.claudioarts.com. That's claudioarts.com, and I can give you all the secrets.
And that's where you can get the link to download this show.
Absolutely.
And listen to it and all your other shows.
And it should be podcast in a couple of days. It won't. I don't think it'll be podcast today. Hopefully we can get Ernie to it. And but you can stay informed by that by just getting in touch with me.
And by going to that site and then back to ours, you can also find out where you can get Our State magazine and get the article Josh Schaefer wrote, and all that good stuff. So,
and we got about four more minutes, and we're going to bring this show to a wrap. So anything you need to get out, get it out.
I mean, I think what's important is, you know, I look back to initial production in October 2009, and I thought we would be in a different place in about 6 to 12 months. You don't know where things go, how they happen, or where they're going to end up.
Right.
And it didn't quite go the way I wanted, but at the same time, we made really good use of the time that we didn't get back up into production and didn't get going again. And I think that says a lot about the character of the people that we worked with. I think it says a lot about the actors, the crew. It says something about our production as a whole, because usually if something goes this long and nothing happens, it's sort of perceived as dying on the vine. And yet there's the difference in, again, between a lot of producers and maybe myself, in that I took advantage of the opportunity. Okay, I've got a completed project. Mm-hmm. I know I need to do more, but I'm not going to sit and wait and have to go do more before I make sure people continue to see
episode. I'm impressed with how you got back in the saddle, I have to say that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've done a nice job. And I thank you very much, Michelle, my wife, because I know I would not have been able to do it without you. I love you.
Strong support system there. No
absolutely.
Doubt.
Absolutely.
And the kids, of course.
Oh, John Coleman and Roxanna. I love them. I mean, again, part of the reason that people do fall in love with what we're doing is they realize, oh my gosh, it's a family show, and it's being done by a family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, indeed. We really are the Von Trapps of television. I mean, it's...
I'm glad nobody's chasing you.
Yes, I was going to say.
They're not chasing us yet.
Okay.
First he tells us about the CIA, then there's the Von Trapp family, and then we...
And the secret locations where nobody knows
which way is up.
Yes.
Yeah. Which way is up? Which way to the front?
That's right.
Actually, which way to D.C. with a baseball bat at this point?
Jeez. I mean... Don't get me started.
Yes, me neither. That's why I picked the end of the show to even start on anything.
And you and I will be departing it. For anybody that wants to continue the show, you can find my cell phone number online. Trust me, you will find it if you look for it. But Claudia and I will be riding back to Camp Demers with the bag of basil.
Yes,
basil.
And you are welcome to call. We'll be glad to continue cheating and chatting and all that good stuff because we know you're going to want to hear the latest.
This guy's nonstop.
Absolutely.
And again, I must repeat my refrain of saying, you know, this guy doesn't really need me to interview him. He can just roll on. Now, please take those batteries out.
They're out.
I think they're pretty burned out at this point. Once again, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. You got John Paul coming up next. And any closing comments? Why don't you give the website one more time? So
www.therustybucketkids.com. If you're going to visit Pam and Max's store, which you can get through to our website, but you can go directly to theirs at therustybucket.biz.
And it's on Main Street in Apex, or is it Salem Street?
Salem Street, North Carolina. In the 100 block of North Salem Street, next to All Booked Up and Las Margaritas and Anna's Pizzeria. Come to Apex. It's like Carboro on steroids.
And on that note, I'm going to say this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCM 103.5 FM with Audrey Layden in the studio, John Demers, whom you've just had your earful.
Bye.
And yours truly, Claudio, signing off until next time. Thanks for tuning us in. You keep us tuned in and we'll keep you turned on. Until next time, cheers.